This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me today is Mike Morin. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, we'd love for you to give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share. Or if you just want to chat with us, you can give us a call. Again, the number, 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building. We're right in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. You can come on down, have some lunch at Midtown, and watch the show. So welcome to Food for Thought. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hello, Carol. So nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
What's the soup at the Midtown Cafe today? Because when we're done at 2 o'clock, I have to have lunch.
You know, Brittany upstairs makes the best soup. It's a veggie rice today.
Oh, nice.
And there's like some green snap peas in there.
Snap peas, yeah.
And some rice. It looks really, really good.
I had a really great soup here 2 weeks ago, and it also had green snap peas in it, which you don't see very often,
right?
Because snap peas can be kind of stringy, and but they weren't, and it was a nice departure
touch
from the predictable veggies that you're going to find in a typical soup.
I agree,
and I'm going to guess she does it from scratch.
Oh yeah, she does. You know, and this is a girl that never made soup before. And
is that right?
I'm like a soup Nazi. I love.
Thank
I
you.
Can live.
I
on
knew
soup.
I loved you for some reason.
I could live on it.
Yes.
And she really caught on to it. My dad kind of, you know, gave her the basics, and she really researches the recipes and puts her heart into it, and she does a great job. And then she'll tell us, "Now I haven't tried this one. It's going to be on tomorrow, and give me your opinion." And I'm telling you, there's never been one that I didn't like. She makes great soup.
How many soups in her repertoire? Because that's important to keep that growing.
She's probably up to about 20.
That's awesome.
18 to 20, I would think. Yeah.
I am so into soups
that
are made from scratch. Barbara began making them several years ago, and she doesn't always have the time to do it. But I will only reach for a can of soup if my life depends on it.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm on an island somewhere and there's either my hand or some canned soup that I have to consume to stay alive, I'll reluctantly go for the soup because it has so much sodium. And it kills the flavor.
Right.
You don't even
totally.
Taste
you
the
don't.
Freshness. Of course, the vegetables aren't fresh,
right,
as we know, but I suppose the whole canned soup thing came about as a convenience factor. You know, I'm not even sure. I think probably back in the 1920s when America decided it was better to, you know, eat fast and conveniently than.
Right.
But it's nice that we're going back to our old values that our grandparents and such had before World War II.
What's your favorite soup to make?
I don't really make too many soups, quite honestly. Not that I wouldn't like to, but that's kind of, you sort of divide up your territory in the kitchen, and soup is Barbara's thing. I would have to say, though, that she makes a really good, it's called Ribollita, which is, she got that from Ina Garten,
ooh,
the Barefoot Contessa.
I love her.
On the Food Network. And a Ribollita soup has kale, it has a certain kind of cabbage, a Savoy cabbage, and it's very, very based on that. But then, of course, you've got some other things, some beans, and you're using pancetta.
Ooh,
to get sort of that smoky kind of pork taste. So it really, really is good, and she just pulled that out of the recipe book and did it. She also makes the best chicken noodle soup, honestly, that I think I've had. Just the blending of the spices is just right. And it's never the same two times in a row. I have to admit, I'm kind of a chicken when it comes to stuff like that, is I tend to stay closer to the recipe, which I know I have to, like, spread out from there. But she'll just do it for a little of this, a little of that.
See, that's how I am. I when I make a really, really good soup, unfortunately, I usually cannot duplicate it because I don't remember how I made it.
I know. Yeah, she made something recently. I said, please write it down and make it the same way that you did this time, because it was outstanding.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, that doesn't happen. But this is a good day to actually talk about soup for a little bit.
Yes.
I would have to say that her chili is outstanding. Mm. I love chili. That's one thing I do make. But I kind of, you know, I yield to her because her chili beats mine, in my opinion. And her secret ingredient is a little bit of chocolate.
Chocolate?
Yeah. It just gives it like a whole different vibe. You're still getting the chilliness of the cayenne and the beef and the beans and everything. But the chocolate is really, really, really a nice addition.
Wow. I would never think that, but now that I'm thinking mm-hmm. about it, yeah, it would be a great addition.
All right, so I realize that next time she makes that, I need to bring some down.
Yes, I need to try that.
So you can
but,
try
you know,
that.
I guess isn't that kind of on the Mexican side
yes,
of that? Isn't mole?
Yeah, mole
with the
is with the chicken with the sauce, the heavy sauce with the chocolate. Yeah, you're right about that.
Right, so maybe you know it does make sense.
Exactly,
and it's
a southwestern dish essentially to begin with. The okay, here's I'm just learning how to cook chili story. This goes back 30 years. I've told this a few times. It's embarrassing, but at this point in my life, I don't care. So I decide I work for a radio station. Yeah, I work for a radio station in Ohio, and we were kind of co-presenting a local chili contest. It's kind of when chili contests were getting popular, and I decided, all right, well, I can do this. So I found a book. I think it's called Chili Madness. And one of the recipes, and it was just the name that caught my attention, called Buzzard Breath Chili.
Ooh.
Buzzard's Breath Chili. So you can just picture this tumbleweed out and these birds just, you know, ready to come down on you. So one of the actual ingredients in Buzzard's Breath Chili is cigar ashes.
Come on.
I didn't use that, but that was, you know, that's kind of shows you how far back it goes. But part of any chili recipe is garlic, of course.
Of course.
And so I think it said, you know, 5 cloves of garlic. Well, I used 5 heads of garlic.
Oh, my God!
I didn't know a clove from a head. So, I mean, it just pretty much smoked out everybody. But the good thing is they didn't find a vampire within 100 miles.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That'll be a fun topic sometime, is kitchen disasters or cooking disasters, although you probably don't have any.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Are you kidding?
What's your best soup now? We need to bring it back to soup a little.
Soup. I start with the basic, and it's usually a chicken base, mm-hmm. you know, chicken broth base. And, you know, and sometimes it's whatever's left in the fridge, you know, for veggies. Mm-hmm. One of my staples that I do put in all of my soups is poblano peppers.
Nice.
You know, they're not too hot.
I like that.
You know, mild. They're, you know,
even in your chicken soup?
Yep. I put it in all my, like when I saute the onions, carrots,
yes.
and celery.
Okay.
And poblanos.
Good time to do that.
So it's in all of my soups. And then from there, you know, just whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever's in the house and, you know, and different. I always like to, I also like to fool around with different pastas in it. You know, you know, some elbows and then maybe some orzo, and I'll put a couple of different ones in my soup. So,
do you prefer pasta or rice as the kind of starch in your soup?
You know, either.
Mm-hmm.
I like both.
Yeah,
I really do. I like orzo.
That's
one of my favorites.
Orzo's fun.
I would have to say.
Yeah, we're all I'm discovering some of these new pastas, which is good. But I'm surprised, really, that you cook. First of all, I see that Daryl does a lot of, and he's...
Daryl is the best cook.
Fabulous.
I think he was intimidated by me, don't ask me why, as far as cooking. And he just kind of started cooking, you know, a little bit more. He's 10 times better than I am. He is a great cook.
Did he have any kind of... Did he work in restaurants at all?
Nope.
He just has a knack for it.
Like that. Did you see the chili and sea bass that I had posted one day?
Yes.
That nice...
I said,
he
what is that?
Seared
oh,
that and
yeah.
that was, he's made that twice now.
So here's the deal. You have Daryl. He's mm-hmm. a great cook. Mm-hmm. And every time I look on Facebook, you guys are out somewhere at a restaurant.
I know.
You don't cook anymore, Carol, do you? Come on.
I haven't
come clean.
Been. Honestly, I haven't been. You know, with the opening of Londonderry, it seems like since Londonderry opened, it's going on is it 3 or 4 weeks. I think Monday's going to be 4 weeks. You know, I've just been crazy, crazy busy. It's just been crazy. And, we really have not been cooking too much.
No, well, I can understand that.
A little bit
that.
In between, you know, during the week and stuff. But,
sure.
But, yeah, I haven't.
Do you,
I'm guilty.
Do you do soup even in the summer? Because,
oh, yes.
Honestly, I don't care what time of year it is.
Neither. I like it. And, you know, one of my favorite summer soups to make, especially when, you know, when it's fresh and you can get the veggies at the farmer's markets,
right.
is gazpacho.
Yes.
I make a great gazpacho.
Really?
Ooh.
You don't see that very often on restaurant menus. And
true.
I'm not sure why. Is it too far off the beaten path for most tastes?
I think it might be.
It's
I think it
so
might
good.
Be because I think it is so good.
And a cold potato soup is also
Vichyssoise is very good.
And when I was, I did weddings. I was a DJ for weddings for 15 years. So I was exposed to, you know, I mean, usually it was stuffed chicken breast. But when you would go to, for instance, when I worked at Bedford Village Inn, I could usually count on something
you
a little bit different.
You worked at Bedford Village Inn?
Well, as a wedding DJ.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah,
okay.
I never worked there. Jack is smarter than hiring me to work there. But they had cold peach soup, strawberry soup, and it was fabulous appetizers. It's good. You know, the whole soup thing is just, I've kind of discovered that in my life the last couple of years. And now keep the cans of soup in the store where they belong.
Definitely. Do you know who never, and I was like shocked. I just couldn't even believe it. Jeannie.
Yep.
Jeannie. Doesn't even know how to make a soup. Like, she's never made soup. She doesn't know how to make soup. She thinks it's crazy to make soup. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, that just didn't make sense to me.
Oh, let's not beat up on poor Jeannie.
I know.
Although she took her bruises a couple weeks ago and she very bravely, I'll give her credit, she made some soup that by her own admission did not work out so well and had it critiqued by a chef.
Yes. And we actually have a caller. We have Kevin from New Boston that wants to talk soup, I think. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm living the dream. I'm alive every day.
So, your thoughts on soup?
Well, you know, you guys are both talking soups. Is there really anyone that doesn't like soup?
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And Jeannie does not like soup.
It's mom when we were kids. You know, think about it. You know, my mother always had a pot of soup on Sunday. No matter what, there was always, you know, she'd start in the morning and there'd be a huge soup pot. You know, all day and during the course of the week, you always had some soup. But to me, soup is mom and home.
Yep.
And really, when you think about it, food is all about people and togetherness and family and feeling good about things. What was mom's best soup that you wish that she could make for you today?
She still makes it, but it's just a simple chicken stock noodle soup. You know, usually. You know, without using brand names, there's a Mrs. Lawn Cover, this is grass soup. It's just a noodle, you know, it's just a noodle soup with the chicken stock and some minor veggies in it. But whenever you have the soup, I think, you know, yeah, Sunday at my mother's house.
Nice.
Now, did you always have a big Sunday meal? Are you Italian?
No, I'm French.
Okay.
I wouldn't say a big, you know, my mother was big, my mother was a stay-at-home mom, so it was, you know, a meal every night. There was a meal made. Nothing fancy. It was more the spaghetti, the meatloaf, the beef stews. Beef stew is a great staple for me.
Nice.
So,
very nice.
I don't know. I think it's kind of, most soups tend to be that home touch. It's not like, not too many people grew up eating beef Wellington or, you know what I'm saying, the fancy stuff. But soup, everybody had soup.
Yeah, it's true. You were right.
Hey, Kevin, thank you for the call. Check in anytime. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Just really real quick, like, have you guys ever looked at the Potter's Bowl or, you know, those kind of things that they have going on in Manchester and Derry?
Yeah.
Nothing
What's
but soup?
Not familiar with it.
Manchester does one. I know Derry Caregivers do. Every year they do them in, like, January. Hmm. And the local kids and artists make ceramic bowls, you know, pottery.
Pottery.
You buy your entry in, which allows you to grab one bowl of any type. It's yours
of
to
your
keep.
Choice.
And then there's, I know the Derry one had, like, 14 or 15 restaurants serving different their special soups.
Yeah,
from Italian weddings to a lobster bisque.
Yeah.
A common
That's awesome.
Man was there. The Bedford Village Inn was there.
The Red Arrow's done it before. We do the one in Manchester.
Right. Well, the one in Manchester. So, you know, you guys are talking soup. That would be a great lead-in for soup one time.
Well, you're right about
there
that.
You go.
We'll make a note about that for our calendars next winter. Kevin, thanks for the tip and the conversation. Good to hear from you. All right. Probably time to take a break at 12:25, I would say.
It is. Stay tuned. You're listening to Food for Thought, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And we are in studio today. I'm in studio with Mike Morin, and up next is our comedy Cold Cuts.
Let me just say, I've been in radio, for 40 plus years. This is the coolest studio I think I've ever worked in. I mean, you've got the whole kitchen thing going on in here, and then now you have is it a Steinway or a Baby Grand? I don't know, but you've got a beautiful rug, Persian rug, and on top of that, a beautiful fully functional piano. So I'm curious to see how that's going to work into Food for Thought at some point. Maybe we can get John Tesh or Jim Brickman down here.
Wouldn't that be great? I know.
Well, it is time for Comedy Cold Cuts. And this is where we take a theme and we kind of play with it and let the comedians talk about it. And then we have a little conversation afterwards. And I don't know if people realize, probably not, because they have lives and I don't. And this is what I do is I look these things up. The 18th, which was just 2 days ago, was Ag Day, as in Agriculture Day. And it's celebrating the bountiful food supply that we are blessed to have in this country for most people that are lucky enough to have access to food on a regular basis. So Ag Day made me think, well, I bet the comedians would probably have some take on this in different forms. So the first little clip I'd like to play is Brian Regan, who does a lot of conversation about food. He's played the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord. And this is his little conversation about foods and labels and serving sizes. Brian Regan.
Who's coming up with serving sizes? A serving size of ice cream is a half a cup. What is that? What? Is that like a joke some guy put on there? Hey, come here. Look what I put for the serving size. Did you see? I just did it as a joke, but they're going out like that. I don't know what to do. Just let it go. I guess there's nothing you can do now. You ever know anybody to eat a half a cup of ice cream? Hey, you want to go grab something to eat? Oh, no. Had a half a cup of ice cream. Yeah, a whole half a cup. I just kept eating and eating and eating. I must have had 2 spoonfuls. I think a serving size of ice cream is when you hear the spoon hit the bottom of the container. When you can't do this anymore. I even ripped the side. Not sure what they're talking about for the half a cup of ice cream. I have to lay off dairy, though. That's what my doctor threw in as I was leaving his office. Oh, and lay off dairy. I'm like, what the hell? What kind of blanket sweep is that? And no more happiness. Away with you. What does he care? I'm trying to lay off dairy. I'm in the supermarket with my little cart, and I'm trying to avoid the dairy aisle. I can see they all have party hats on over there. I'm in the juice aisle, slooped over with juice people. Ugh. I learned something in the juice aisle, and that is, I don't know what's going on with cranberries, but they're getting in all the other juices. Whoever the salesman is for cranberries does a great job. He's showing up everywhere. Hey, what do you got, apples? Put some cranberries in them. We'll call it cran apple. Go 50-50. What do you got, grapes? How about cran grape? What do you got, mangoes? Cran mango. What do you got, pork chops? Cran chops. Why don't you back off, cran man?
Brian Regan, foods and labels, and the proliferation of cranberries and everything. Oh, I have to admit, I do like craisins on a nice salad.
No, not me.
No, can't go for it.
No. I don't like raisins. Cranberries.
All right, so let's get back to this. And he's right. Who has a half a cup of ice. You can't even go to an ice cream stand. Go over to Creamland and say, can I have a half a cup of ice cream?
You're right.
Or to the Puritan Backroom, you know, or something like that, or Max, or one of those places. I mean, typically, I'll ask for like a kiddie one because that's plenty.
Right.
You know, I mean, I love ice cream, but I know too much is not a good thing.
Yep.
And it's probably even more than half a cup. If you ask for a small.
Oh, I think it definitely is. Like if you go to Granite State Candy and Ice Cream right here, couple of doors down,
right.
You get their kiddie. Mm-hmm. It is, I have to tell them half of a kiddie because it's just too much. You should see their larges. You would die.
No.
I've been at the shop in Concord with J-Dog, my old producer.
Uh-huh.
And he ordered a large, and it was, I can't even explain it. It was amazing. It was unbelievable how much ice cream was on there. And J-Dog ate the whole thing.
Of course he did. He's a growing boy.
He did.
And then, I mean, are you a label reader?
Not really.
No.
Yes and no. It depends. It depends on what kind of food it is.
Yeah, I kind of am because we have a few dietary restrictions in my family, so I kind of have to be aware of certain things. But then I look at the bag of Doritos, you know, and I say, all right, so I'm going to have one serving of Doritos. It's 140 calories or whatever, you know. And as a male at this point in my life, 2,000 calories a day is probably about what I should be consuming. It's good to be aware of that. I mean, I'm not going to preach to anybody or beat anybody over the head, but you want to be healthy so you can, you know, enjoy life and eat longer. So I look at the Doritos bag at 140 calories, and I'm thinking, all right, for one serving. And then I see, oh, but that's only 11 chips.
I was going to say, is it 6 or 8?
Yeah, it's 11. That's over 10 calories a chip. That's like 12 or 13 calories every. And I mean, nobody wants to be that fanatical about it, but it's good to have some idea, because I would sit down with a bag of Cape Cod potato chips.
Oh, that's my favorite too. Is that your favorite?
It absolutely is. And one of the best ones they don't make anymore was jalapeno. And there was something else. It may have been rhubarb or whatever. I don't know what it was, but it was spicy. And it had another ingredient, and they don't make that one anymore.
Oh, I wonder why.
But I love Cape Cod chips. Never had them in Michigan where I grew up, although I think you can probably get them now. But they're also, if I knew I was going to die tomorrow, I would do nothing but eat Cape Cod chips until the end came.
My sister's a chipaholic.
Is she?
She is. She is. I can't call myself a chipaholic, but my sister definitely is.
Now, Cape Cod makes the 40% less salt chip, and those are pretty good.
I can go with
that. I mean, I don't know if that really moves the needle as far as, you know, people on sodium-restricted diets, but just give me a bag of Cape Cod. That's what you can get me for Christmas, Carol. Just
Cape Cod
just saying.
Chips.
Yeah, Cape
there
Cod chips.
All right.
Let's move on before we take a break. We're celebrating Ag Day in New Hampshire, which was the 18th, which is celebrating our farmers and the men and women that, you know, bring us our food locally and the Bountiful food supply. Talk about Bountiful. This is the late John Panette, and he's talking about Chinese buffets, talking about lots of food.
Boy. It's a pleasure to be here because I was just in Las Vegas. So I need the money. I lost a lot of money. I really did. I mean, I get them back at the buffet, don't get me wrong. $9.95, all you can eat. We'll see who wins this friggin' handout, won't we? I do believe I have blackjack. I was at the prime rib counter going, hit me again. The buffet manager was horrified. You should have seen him. He looked like a deer caught in the headlights. Get the prime rib back in the kitchen. Finally, he just gave me my money back. Here's your $1,000. Get out! Actually, they have a buffet in Las Vegas. It's called the Oz Buffet. It's the Wizard of Oz theme, and it's a buffet. You walk up and it's the Emerald City and it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. I ran to it. You're out of the wood, you're out of the dock, you're out of the night. Step into the sun, step into the light. Prime ribs and pork chops and scampi, oh my. Prime ribs and pork chops and scampi, oh my. You know, I talk about buffets not because I'm a big guy. No, I'm actually writing a book, Around the World in 80 Buffets. And in my research, I found that there are some foods that shouldn't be all you can eat. Like Chinese food shouldn't be all you can eat because you get hungry again. I don't know what it is. They put something in it. They must. Because I order takeout, they're always real happy. Oh, he's gonna be back. I give that big boy 1 hour.
John Panette, the original Chinese buffet is the name of that. And John alluded to the fact that he's a big guy. Actually, he passed away not too long ago. I want to say maybe even last year. He was only 50, and he could do this kind of humor because visually, you know, he made light of the fact that he was definitely overweight, and that's what makes, you know, these jokes funny. Born in Boston, by the way.
Wow.
And I do recall I was supposed to interview him, actually, where I used to work, and then to promote his show that was going to be at the Cap Center, and then he unfortunately had an untimely passing. I want to say in Las Vegas, oddly enough, but I think the Oz buffet is at the MGM Grand, or at least it used to be. No, I've never been to Vegas. I'm just guessing.
Sure.
But, Chinese food buffets are really, really tasty, which means they're probably really, really bad for you.
Oh, I'm sure.
Do you like buffets in general?
You know, I'm not a big buffet person.
You're not you don't eat on volume like men do.
No.
Men do it on volume. Women do it on quality.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
What kind of buffet do you, have you been to Vegas, first of all?
Yes.
And the buffets?
Very nice.
Some are better than others.
Very nice, like on cruises, you know,
yes.
The buffets they have on cruises, and, you know, but I, like you said, I'm not a volume eater, but I do like the variety that a buffet gives you.
That's
true. A little bit of this, a little bit of that,
you know,
so, yeah. I actually went to lunch with my son at Gaucho's.
Oh, yes.
And they have
the Brazilian,
yes.
I forget how they say it, but I know what you're, everything comes out on a spit,
yes.
They slice it off and eat as much as you want. Did you do any damage, do you think, to them?
No, no.
They make money on people like you, right?
They do. My son, maybe not, but it was very good. It was very good. Nice variety. And I
think the salad bar at Gaucho's is really, really good.
Yes.
I am such a salad bar fan. I love salad bars.
You don't see them around too much anymore, salad bars.
No, you don't see them as much, and I'm not really sure why. I have to tell you, the grocery stores that have them are usually pretty good. The one that I like where I live is Shaw's, and the lettuce is always fresh. Of course, I get there at 10 in the morning, so I make sure that nobody sneezed all over it yet. But you're right. You could try some different things that you normally wouldn't do at home. So
Fresh Market's buffet looks really nice, too. You know, like that they have a it's like with olives and garlic in the oil and feta and all kinds
mozzarella.
Of mozzarella. Yes, that's a really good buffet.
Yeah.
And then they have a seafood buffet too, like seafood line.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever been to Fresh Market?
I don't think so.
You have
I'm sorry, that's in Bedford, right?
Bedford.
I apologize. I have been there. You know, some of these little kind of high-end grocery stores are popping up.
They are.
That are really, really good.
I love Fresh Market.
You have Whole Foods finally
coming right next to Fresh Market.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's
Whole
going
Food?
Where the
is that right? Because you got
Sheridan.
The one in Ashwin now, right at exit 7.
Yeah,
7
no,
West.
It's going to be. They're tearing down the Sheridan. That's going to be Whole Foods.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, give the Fresh Market a little competition, huh? Competition is a good thing,
competition
right?
Competition only makes you better.
All right, we're going to come back very shortly with a few more comedy cold cuts here on The Pulse.
Very good. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building right in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street, and we are doing our comedy cold cut segment.
What fun, huh?
Very fun.
Well, today's theme is a bountiful food supply because on the 18th of March, it was Ag Day, as in Agriculture Day, and our next comedy cold cut is from a guy whose name is Tony Rock, and he ties it all together with something called fruit mascots.
I was going to eat healthy, too. I was going to give myself a week of eating healthy, but then I said, nah, forget it. Too much work. Too expensive to eat healthy. Anybody a health nut in here? Too expensive to eat healthy. You ever go to Whole Foods? You ever go to Whole Foods? A carrot is like $7. But McDonald's got double cheeseburgers for $1. No, our kids don't eat fruit because fruits don't have any mascots. That's why kids don't eat fruit. Fruits don't have any mascots. Like every sugary cereal has like a bear or a rabbit. It's like, kids, eat it, kids, eat it, eat it, eat it. You're a little kid, you're like, I gotta get that cereal. There's no mascot for grapes. no mascot for apples. You know why? Because the grape and the apple, they the mascots for underwear. That's why I say I'm just going to eat what I want to eat and drink alcohol and have a good time.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's what it's all about, enjoying your food. But he's right. There aren't that many mascots. The mascot I'm thinking about right now is the, I think it's Jimmy Dean Sausage. It's the sunshine guy.
Oh, yeah.
And not too many of those. And, of course, Fruit of Loom is the underwear reference that he made. So let's move on to our final comedy cold cut segment here. And Weird Al Yankovic is this guy who's built an entire career on writing parodies, song parodies. He's done it since the late 70s. He's the guy that's got the long, red, curly hair. He plays the accordion. And he takes, a lot of times, a food theme, and he works it into a song. Now, there was a hit by Robert Palmer probably about 1980 called Addicted to Love. Well, as we talk about an abundance of food today, this is Weird Al. He's addicted to spuds, as in potatoes. Did we lose Big Al Yankovic? Can we get it back there? Yes, no? Well, tell me in my ear if you get it back, we'll finish it off. But anyway, Addicted to Spuds, there was a little bit more to the song than that. But Weird Al Yankovic doing a lot with food, from pizza to fish to... We can? You got it ready to go? All right. We now rejoin Weird Al in progress.
Might as well face it, you're addicted to spuds. Might as well face it, you're addicted to spuds. Might as well face it, you're addicted to spuds. Might as well face it, you're addicted to spuds. Might as well face it, you're addicted to spuds. Another case of spud abuse. What can I say? What can I do? Potato bug has got me too. Whoa, whoa. I used to hate them, now they're all that I eat. Oh yeah. We've often seen them whipped, but they just can't be beaten. Now I'm gonna have to face it, I'm addicted to spuds. I'm addicted to spuds. Might as well face it, I'm addicted to spuds. Might as well face it, I'm addicted to spuds. Might as well face it, I'm addicted to spuds.
There you go, Weird Al and Addicted to Spuds, part one and part two on 107.7 The Pulse. This is Food for Thought with Carol and Mike as we wrap up the Comedy Cold Cuts segment today. Every Friday during this time, we find a theme and we get some comedians to riff off of it with their their comedy bits. But in the next few moments, I understand we will be getting a visit from Girl Scouts.
Yes, Royce D'Amelio will be joining us, and she is. We'll let her tell us what she has in store at the Red Arrow Diners that they can come and.
I know. I saw some of. Well, we don't want to give it all away. But is she going to be bringing samples of cookies? Or
well, we also
are they going to shake us down to buy some cookies?
Maybe both.
They're really good at that.
But the head baker of the Red Arrow Diner is going to be here as well.
The head baker? Really?
The head baker, Michelle. So, yes.
So how long has Michelle been with Red Arrow?
Michelle's been with Red Arrow for 7 years. Six, 7 years.
So
yeah.
she must be doing okay.
Oh, yeah. She's doing, and she travels to, like, all the diners now. And, you know. Make sure that everything is staying consistent and, you know, the right way. And
making sure the pies are the biggest and the heaviest in the history of mankind.
Exactly, and she's been working with Royce.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what this is all about. And I also did a little research and have a list of the most popular Girl Scout cookies based on, actually, their own website. What do you think is the number one most popular Girl Scout cookie, according to those stats?
I think it's Thin Mints.
Do you?
I do.
Then I have a surprise for you coming up.
Ooh, okay.
May not be exactly what you think. And if we can find some kind of gifts in the Red Arrow prize closet, we have a food for thought brain buster to share.
We definitely have gifts.
Ah, that's music to my ears. Sometime next hour. Having to do with food and names that, well, it stumped you so far.
It has stumped me.
I gave you the question.
I've been thinking about it. Should we give the question now?
No.
Okay.
We're going to hold it for a little while. We're going to have Royce come in and visit with us. We're going to talk Girl Scout cookies, and then we're going to make you take the Brain Buster quiz.
Very good. All right. You are listening to Food for Thought live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.